Father, what a privilege again that we can come to you and we just bring Jessica and Donette, and as they've been battling for a few days now, we want to thank you through you, Jesus, for your incredible healing power and ability and what you have done. So we just want to release over them your divine healing into their bodies, total healing in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. So we thank you again that this morning you're going to share with us a little bit more. What a privilege, as we spoke earlier on, how you are leading us, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who guides us into all truth. And we don't want to just park in camping in a little bit of truth that you've revealed. We ask, Holy Spirit, and we say, yes, we will walk with you as you take us and guide us into the fullness of truth that's in Christ Jesus. And this we ask, Father, that your name will be glorified, that we will be fruitful, so that you will truly be glorified. And this through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. We carrying on with a particular scripture in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it's that whole scripture about how the love of Christ compels and the ministry and the message of reconciliation. And part of our discovery now is, for instance, prayer. What does a prayer of reconciliation sound like? How do we pray with the heartbeat as Christ's love compelling, the Father and His Son reconciling all back to Himself? What does our prayers sound like? Can we identify the prayer of reconciliation in our words, in our heart, in our mind? And so this is part of the discovery, because that's part of the ministry, is intercession, part of the ministry. Ministry is a big thing, but we're looking or starting to look at prayer. And so maybe it'll be good to bring your notebooks, because you might need to write down, okay, here's a scripture. This is part of what it means to pray the prayer of reconciliation, and then start to write down, start to put words to the revelation, the truth that the Holy Spirit is sharing on how to pray the prayer of reconciliation, not just for yourself, but for the nation, for your friends, for the family, for the neighborhood, for those in the workplace, etc. So it's part of us now, not just hearing, but remember, as we spoke right in the beginning of the series, where it's one thing knowing intellectually about truth. We want to live in the life of that truth. So we want to live in the reality of the intercession of reconciliation and see how God answers prayer. We spoke earlier on about the reality of abiding in Christ, and He in us and His Word abiding in us. And whatever we ask in His name, He will do this, and so that the Father is glorified. So I don't know about you, but I don't want to just know those scriptures. I want to live in the reality that whatever we ask, the Father does it. It's done. And I love the word reality. It's done. And He will do it. So this is an act of the power of God doing something as we respond and become fruitful, more fruitful. And as I shared last week in Colossians chapter 1, where Paul is writing to the church over there and he's celebrating their love for one another, he's celebrating their faith, and their love and their faith is being spread all over. And because they are loving so greatly, because their faith is so great, he says, now, because of this very reason, we're praying for you even more, that your love may increase and your faith may increase, so that you can be more fruitful and bring glory to the Father. So that's why all of us, we are living, we are fruitful, but we're loving one another, but there's so much more that God wants to take us into. So I thought this morning, just to touch base as we look at our portion of scripture here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I thought let's just refresh ourselves to the reality of faith. and you will see why faith is so important to the ministry of reconciliation. I think all of us know very well that particular scripture in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Now faith is the assurance, the confidence of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Another translation, now faith brings our hopes into reality. So it's no longer just out there, it's into reality. So faith is needed to bring that which is spiritual into reality and becomes a foundation needed to acquire, to receive, to acquire the things that we long for. And so we've looked at this word assurance, we've looked at this word confidence, and as we spent some time months ago studying the God faith, what's the difference between human faith, religious faith, demonic faith, but the God faith, this God faith is the substance that what God has promised, everything that God has promised, God's ability, all of God is contained in this faith that He birthed within us to be able to produce, to be able to do that which He has spoken. And that's crucial for us to once again to be reminded. So when God speaks, faith comes from hearing God. Okay, so this faith that we're speaking about is not what people are saying and you believe what they're saying. It's not what politicians are saying and you believe what they're saying. It's not what you are saying in your own mind and you believe. This is when you hear God speak to you and I. Faith comes from Him. It's a God faith. And as He's speaking through His Word and the way He speaks to you as by His Holy Spirit, God birthed within us this incredible faith. It's His gift to you and I. And in this faith, whatever He has spoken, in this gift, this faith that is birthed within us, contains everything to be able to see what He has spoken become a reality. Crucial for us to, again, as I'm repeating myself, to grasp this. So whatever God has shared with you, what He shared with me, as we heard God speak to us and He birthed faith, and when that God faith comes birthed within us, what He's saying, you know, is the absolute truth. You're fully persuaded that what He is saying is the absolute truth and is going to take place. Now, in the faith, all of God's ability is in that. And so now as we walk in faith and we begin to renew our mind and we get into agreement with what God has spoken, we start to see the fruit of that coming out. We start to see the evidence of what we hoped for become a reality. So this faith is this foundation so that that which is spiritual, God has spoken, the spiritual promises, now this faith is the foundation for it now to manifest. Very, very important to understand this. So I don't know what God has spoken to you, each and every one of us. God has spoken for me when He spoke about, for instance, that when I was asking God one day, what's the answer for our nation? And He said, the death and resurrection of my Son Jesus Christ. And He spoke very audibly into me. So I heard God speak. So I know that everything, the answer for this nation, everything, all the power and the ability, the wisdom, you name it, is all in this faith that God birthed in me concerning the death and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. Very important to walk in faith, to be able to see what God has promised become a reality. And that's why Jesus says, when I come, will I find faith on this earth? Because it's so easy to be persuaded by all the other things that are happening around, and we forget that divine faith, we sort of neglect that which God gave to us when He spoke to us concerning something. Likewise with this ministry of reconciliation. It may not be what God has spoken to you about, but for me personally, for our community, for our nation, etc. I know God has spoken very clear. There's a faith that He has given me. So I know that everything, this love of Christ and the ministry and the message of reconciliation, everything in this faith that He birthed in me, it's got God's ability to bring about the manifestation of true reconciliation. Father reconciling the world back to himself through his son Jesus, not counting their sin against them. That's a fact. That's the faith. And in this faith is all the power of God to produce what he has spoken about. What has he spoken to you about? What has he shared with you by the Spirit of God? See, everything that's needed to bring about what he has promised in that faith. So nurture that faith. Keep that faith alive. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author, the founder, the pioneer of this faith. So that you don't get persuaded to believe everything that's happening around you, but you continue to, Lord, but this is what you've said, and I thank you. Keep being in agreement with what the Spirit of God spoke to you concerning what that promise was, or what the scriptures, whatever it may be, that God shared with you. Okay, so that's very important for us to, again, to just to be reminded about when we're speaking about faith. Religious faith hasn't got the power of God in it. It's just man-made kind of ideas. It's, you can feel it, and religious faith will put you into a works performance to be able to perform in order to be right with God. And it's all self-effort. Okay, demonic faith, we can be fully persuaded what the devil is saying to us and who we are and our identity, and you want to commit suicide, you want to do this, you want to do that, and you can believe that there. It's up to you, but you live according to what you believe, because we live by faith. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is helping us to realize, yeah, that this love of God is pretty awesome. And when he shares with you and I, take notes. So that is why, as we look at, or we won't even get there today, there's so much more. But as we start to look at what is the ministry of reconciliation and what is the message of reconciliation, you'll start to find, as we seek and we ask, Lord, take us into the reality of what you did on the cross. Father, take us into what you did through your son in reconciling this whole world. What does it mean that Jesus, that through Christ Jesus, he is the one that created all things for him and through him and by him? What does it mean that you have reconciled all things back to yourself through Jesus, who created all things through him, by him? What's my prayer of reconciliation when I start to look at our King Jesus Christ, and you start to realize, whoa, take us into that. I want to know the truth about what reconciliation is all about, because everything Christ has, it's for him. And so if I'm looking at relationships, if I'm looking at careers, and I'm looking at unemployment, I'm looking at all these kind of things, how does it all fit into that you have reconciled all things, Jesus, because you're the one who have created all things for you? Can you see it's much bigger than just me and my little stuff? It's now getting to understand the maturity, growing now as children, growing up in the spirit realm, to begin to get the heartbeat of the Father on how to intercede and how to touch, how to pray, how to minister, the heartbeat of the Father, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son. Connecting to the ministry and the prayer of reconciliation concerning what God has spoken before the foundation of the world. Christ was already slain. Reconciliation before the fall. How do I start to pray? How do I start to minister based back right in eternity realm? See, it's much bigger than just my little need. Babies cry, milk, milk, milk. Mature sons and daughters seek the glory of the Father. Get into the heartbeat of the Father's will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Father's heartbeat for all mankind, to get the revelation of what Christ has done on the cross for them to be reconciled. So it's time for us, and that's why we're moving on. And it's very important for us to grow in these things. So here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to just read here verse 14. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. Just going to stop there quickly. As we've been speaking, this is the reality of Christ's love. And because we are born again, we are able to connect, we're able to participate, we're able, because the fruit of the Spirit is love. God has poured His love into our heart. So we're able to grow and experience more and more the reality of Christ's love. Now this, you and I cannot produce by ourselves. Christ's love that compels is not something that you and I can produce. It's Spirit. And you will discover more and more, and this is the journey for all of us, that as we begin to realize, but Lord, this is, yes, there's truth over here. And part of the foundation for the ministry of reconciliation and the message of reconciliation is your love for mankind, because you gave your life that we can be reconciled. Help me by your Spirit to begin to partner with you, to become one with you in your love. And it's something that more and more you'll just discover coming from within. And you'll find there more and more your attitude's changing, more and more your mind changes, more and more your behavior and how you see things starts to change more and more and more. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. But it's fascinating because in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, let me read that. Because here in the context of legalism, in the context of law, Paul writes, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And he's speaking to believers. And in the month, in their camp, there are teachers of the law that's coming to say, no, you need to now continue taking hold of the law of Moses. You need to be circumcised. You need to do this. You need to do that, to follow the Ten Commandments, to follow the law. And we say, but what about the Ten Commandments? You will see how this becomes a reality. And he says, so it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Okay? Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. Definition of faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Now we go back to this, the love of Christ compels. Now we get back to what God has spoken. So now there's this faith that He's birthed within us. Now how is this faith going to manifest? What is the foundation? What's the substance of all of this? And now we start to realize, but Lord, the way that that reconciliation is going to take place is through this love. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. This God faith He's spoken. Now how are we going to get that to really manifest? We believe now, and He says the only thing that counts now is faith and being expressed through love. So the real starting point of an incredible ministry in a town, in a nation of reconciliation, we're starting to see back to this truth that it's the love of Christ that compels us. So we believe, and it's His love because we're one with Him. He lives in us, and now by the power of the Holy Spirit, what He has spoken now becomes a reality. This love. And it's fascinating in the context of the law. Let me read Romans 13. Just to give some more background over here. Because you will see this will be an argument that will take place. In Romans 13 verse 8, Paul writes, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow men has fulfilled the law." So Paul is saying in Galatians over there, these people are coming to say you need to be circumcised, etc. But I'm saying the only thing that counts is faith expressed through love. And now he's in Romans, he speaks about this reality. He says here, if you love, you're fulfilling the law. So it's not about circumcision. It's not about whatever what other laws there are that Moses gave. No, this is about love, because if you love, you're fulfilling those Ten Commandments. So love fulfills the law. So if you want to obey the Ten Commandments, love fulfills all those commandments. That's how powerful this love is. That's why Christ fulfilled all of these things. And we read here, "For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." And so, the only thing that counts is God speaking to you and I. We've received a righteousness as a gift from God by faith, and now His love is compelling us to be able to really do and to see this, what Christ has done on the cross, become a reality. So let's go to some scriptures over here. In 2 Corinthians, just to start getting a better understanding of the ministry of reconciliation and the message of reconciliation. Here Paul is sharing about ministers of a new covenant. Okay? You and I, as believers today in Christ, he's a mediator of a new covenant, and in him we live in the reality of the agreement, the terms and conditions that Christ and the Father have made concerning us. That's an incredible freedom that we have. And he says, yeah, are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter written on our hearts. So here we see something about this love of Christ. It's compelling them. Here we get an insight that the people are not just people, but the people are deep in their heart. They've taken them into their heart. Let's put it this way. How easy it is to take malema into your heart? How easy it is to take your enemy into your heart? How easy it is to take politicians into your heart? How easy it is to take someone at the workplace that's giving you grief into your heart? See, we're getting an insight to the love of God. That while we were still enemies of God, Christ died for us. We've always been in the heart of God. All the time. Before creation, Christ was slain. We've always been in the heart of God. So we're seeing something about the ministry, the message, the intercession, the service, the health, whatever it may be. We're starting to see, wow, God, yeah, something that you're sharing about. Your love compels us. In other words, by your Spirit, enable us to take the people into our hearts. Because Christ's love does not say, hey, I don't like the pimples on your face. You're not going to be a friend of mine. No, he loves. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son. So we're getting some insight of the depth. We're getting an insight of no longer being self-centered. We're getting an insight of the truth that in our own ability that we cannot help but be self-centered. We're getting into the reality that I have to find something else. Yeah. We have to find something else because in my own strength, I cannot take people into my heart. In my own ability, I cannot love. I cannot do that. It can only go so far. So I've got to look to my Lord Jesus Christ and realize that he died so that I could live in his life. I can participate. So no longer is it just scriptures that we've looked at in the past couple of years. Now this is a reality. Jesus, in your death I died, and in your resurrection I was raised in order that I could live a new life in you. It's only in Christ now that we are able to participate with his love. Not in our own human strength. Our self is too selfish. Our minds is too evil. We will think of all evil things. So we realize, so Paul is speaking about you yourselves are a letter written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you're a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So the intercession of reconciliation is not just my own intellect now. I'm hearing God, and the intercession of the new covenant is spirit and life. And a big difference than just a religious prayer. Now there's spirit, there's life, because this is with the Spirit of the living God. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. This, again, now we're speaking about this God faith. Not that we are competent in ourselves. We don't have faith in ourselves. But our competence comes from God. For our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So he's sharing with us some insight to this incredible ministry of reconciliation. It's life. It's Spirit. Holy Spirit, and it's life. Our prayers, Spirit of God is sharing with us, be connecting to the heartbeat of the Father for the message and his heart for reconciliation, what Christ has already done. We're understanding how his blood speaks on our behalf. We're understanding that the blood of Christ has made atonement for the sins of the whole world. We're understanding how to pray for a town, how to pray for the people in our schools, how to pray for people based on what Christ has already done. These are the prayers that are heard. This is connecting to the message, to the heart, the love of Christ that's compelling us. It frees us from our self-centeredness. It frees us from being boxed into our little fear bubbles and all our comfort zones. It takes us into God so loved the world. It takes us into the love of Christ, compels us into fulfilling the Great Commission. It's very powerful. As the Holy Spirit is helping us to grasp certain things here this morning. And so we carry on and he speaks about there in verse 12. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. Their minds were made dull, except for when the law and old covenant is read, there's a veil over their minds and their hearts, but Christ has removed that. So again, we see that Paul writes over here that their team that's ministering over there, we have such hope. Faith is a confidence of things we hope for. God has spoken. We've received it. He's birthed faith concerning whatever God has spoken about. Now there's a living hope. And you know there that you've got to be in agreement with what God has spoken. If I'm getting into agreement with the situation, there's no life and spirit there. It's not going to happen. I've got to be in agreement with life and spirit. Because that's a powerful ministry of the new covenant. That is when the glory of God is made known. That is when we are in agreement with God and His word is abiding in us, or whatever we ask in His name, He will do it. Life and spirit, new covenant ministry. So the intercession of new covenant ministry, the intercession of reconciliation, we're starting to, once again, not just pray because that's a duty to pray. We're praying in the spirit. Now we're spending time to hear what God wants. For myself, I'm once again, God, what are you saying concerning my own family? What are you saying concerning people's lives? Then once again, share with me where they are now. Share with me where you're wanting to go with them. I need to hear so I can pray in agreement with you. Truth, spirit, life, reconciliation. How many families do you know that's broken? How many people do we know that has just got no hope? The prayer of reconciliation understands that in Christ there's purpose, in Christ there's hope, in Christ there's the answer. You see, can you understand the urgency of the hour for us to connect and to move forwards in praying from the place of knowing what Christ has done on the cross to bring about reconciliation to all mankind? It is God's will for all to be saved. Okay, so we carry on, and now we see here in, for instance, in chapter 4, let me quickly go to chapter 4, in verse 1 to 7. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, this is this whole ministry of this new covenant, this incredible ministry of reconciliation and the message of reconciliation, rather we have renounced secret and shameful ways. So we put off all that stuff because we focused on this ministry. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the glory light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And he's starting to speak about this incredible treasures that we have within us. So we know Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. We know that. The word of God, God tells us these things. But we know that the gospel has got a greater power than the ability of Satan to blind the minds of the unbelievers. We know that. And we know that it's the will of God for all to be saved and none to miss out. We know that. What will our prayers look like from today onwards? How will we grow in our intercession for our nation, for our town, for our families, for our friends, for the colleagues at work? How are we going to grow in this? And that's why it's always good to actually just write down, this is what my prayers are going to start looking like, going to sound like. Let me start to connect the dots. Let me start to put a name in here and start to write, okay, what will the prayer of reconciliation sound like for this particular person? How do I pray? Jesus, how do we intercede by the Spirit? How do we connect with you in interceding? Because you are the great intercessor. How do we pray? So it takes a bit of time, but it's valuable time because now we're getting to hear what God is saying. Faith is being birthed. And now what he's sharing, there's a hope because this faith enables us now to have a foundation, the substance to bring about what the Father wants to do is in this faith. Can you see why faith is so challenged? Why the enemy tries to steal faith so quickly? Because he knows that in this faith is God's full ability to produce what he's spoken about. I love this scripture there. I think it was in, I don't know if it was in, no, it wasn't Haggai, one of the small prophets, I can't quite remember. But the prophet is speaking to the people that have just come out of exile and going to start to rebuild the temple. And he says to them, listen guys, tell me where are all the ancestors of yours? They're all dead. But God spoke this many, many years ago. God's word is being fulfilled over here. He watches over his word. There were some people that simply believed. There were those prophets that simply believed what God said about their deliverance. They're going into exile, but they're coming out. And there's a future and a hope. They simply believed that. Those that did not believe, they all died. Like was in the desert. That's why it's so important for us to really understand the reality of faith. So I think this morning, we won't go more into this, just to say again over here, and we sang a song earlier this morning, from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, the old is gone, the new has come. And this is a profound, profound truth that is going to explode very, very soon within us. All this is from God because it's about identity. All this is from God. This is God doing this incredible work. Who reconciled us to himself? It's a fact through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. This is all in Christ, remember. For God so loved the world, whoever believes is not condemned. Those who do not believe stand condemned already. So all in Christ, we experience the truth of what God has done through his Son and not counting sins against us. Many have not yet found the truth, and so they don't live in what God has already done through Jesus Christ. Satan has blinded their minds. The prayer of intercession, of reconciliation, comes against and starts to demolish where Satan has blinded the minds of the unbeliever. Okay. And he has committed to us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. It is so God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God who made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We got communion this morning. A good thing to ask the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that when I leave, I'm going to ask the Father, he's going to give the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin and the sin of unbelief. Another translation says he will prove to the world what sin is all about. So they become very conscious of what sin is. A good prayer. We sang that song, holy, holy, holy is God. A good prayer is to ask the Holy Spirit to take you into the sinlessness of God, into the holiness of God. That's a very profound encounter with God. When the Holy Spirit takes you into the reality of God's perfection, God's holiness, His sinlessness. And then ask the Holy Spirit, but you will become aware of it straight away, as the Holy Spirit takes you into the incredible reality of God's incredible purity, His holiness, sinlessness. You become very conscious of sin. You become very conscious of the world. You become very conscious of how we are deceived in thinking that we are good. And you start to see when Paul writes there, quoting one of the prophets, there is no one good, no one righteous, no, not even one. All are seeking their own ways, etc. And as you ask the Holy Spirit to take you more and more into the revelation of God's holiness, you become very, very aware of just the incredible sinful nature, the power of the sinful nature. You become very aware of all the reality of mankind and just seeing the devastation and seeing just how far short we fall from the glory of God. And that revelation becomes so real to you. All of a sudden, you will begin to really value Christ's perfection. You'll value this truth where we read over here, God who made him who had no sin to be a sin offering for us that we might become the righteousness of God. And all of a sudden you start to grasp and you start to, God, Romans chapter 1 verse 16 and 17, you're not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God. And in this gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed that we by faith receive. And all of a sudden you start to value that Christ was sinless. You start to value the love of Jesus in coming to this earth, living a sinless life, so that you and I in Him could come into the purity, into the holiness of God. That you and I can come into Romans chapter 5, and you and I can stand, and the Father says, you have been justified in Christ Jesus. You and I are able to come into the reality of now, coming into the place where by faith we now have peace with God because of being in Christ, into His holiness, receiving His righteousness as a gift from God. You start to love more and more the incredible love of God for us. You start to value what He did on the cross in reconciling people to Himself so that we can have peace with God. We start to experience more and more that incredible truth. Now that we have peace with God, we start to experience, because of this gift of righteousness in Christ Jesus, how we now are in this realm of grace and we can live in this favor of God, based on what Christ has done for you and I. So that's a good prayer, to ask the Holy Spirit to take you into the holiness of God, into the sinlessness of God. It's life-changing. And then you start to see the power of the cross, what Christ has done that destroys the power of sin. And you start to realize there's nothing that Christ has not done in order to set people free from sin. He came, His name is Jesus, to save us from our sin. And this is our Lord Jesus Christ that we eat together with today. We celebrate His life. So, the love of Christ compels. He gave His life. He lived total obedience so that the devil has no hold over Him. So that in His death, dying in our place, that we too in Him can be set free from that incredible, powerful reality of sin. And what takes place as we conclude, that the more we get to become aware of the incredible sinlessness of God and the environment of heaven, what heaven's like, and live in the reality of that purity of heaven. We're seated with Him in the heavenly realms, and we're seated with His purity. We're seated in the sinless realm, and your spirit knows this. And as you and I start to really begin to receive and renew our mind, and as we start to really begin to realize, Holy Spirit, you're showing us what sin is all about, and you're proving to us that we cannot deceive ourselves anymore to think that we're good. You're showing us that all this stuff, you're showing us the only way to be able to be perfect is in your Son, Jesus Christ. And then we take hold of serious instruction that Paul says. Now that this is what He has done, and in Him you are righteous, now, throw off everything that entangles you. And you'll start to see that insight to the purity of Christ and what He has done so that we can be pure in Him. You start to realize, I don't want to sin. I don't want to participate with that there. No. So may the Spirit of God reveal the holiness of God to each and every one of us. The prayer of reconciliation, reconciled to the holiness of God. Not just, God, provide with me food. There's far more. It's not just about us. It's about a nation gripped in the power of sin, controlled by sin. Christ has paid. Christ said, this is the prayer of intercession. The Father, Psalm chapter 2 verse 8, where the Father says to His Son, ask of me. In other words, my Son, come and say, Father, my inheritance is the nations. I'm asking you for this inheritance. Faith receives so that now it can become a reality through the love of Christ Jesus. The prayer of intercession for a nation. The ministry of reconciliation. What Christ has asked the Father, let us connect with that. All people to be saved. Atonement, the blood of Christ. 1 John 2 verse 2, that the blood of Christ has made atonement for all of mankind. All of mankind, the prayer of reconciliation as we pray for our nation. There's so much more because we still, next week, God willing, we'll see how it goes, but we still need to look at Hebrews 12 where the blood of Christ speaks a better word than Abel. To know the prayer of intercession, of reconciliation, the blood speaks. You know the joy when you start to pray, Lord, let your blood speak for the people of our town. Faith brings it into reality, so it manifests. The importance of faith. Hear God, spend time in His Word, abide in Him, listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. Get into agreement, keep on having your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author of the faith. And walk with Him, abide with Him, remain with Him, walk in His love, listen, obey Him, so that as you obey Him more and more, we live in the reality of His love. You start to see the prayers being answered because this brings glory to our Father for us to be fruitful. Amen. So there was a lot there. But we will recap next week and recap and recap. So Jesus, this morning we're going to just eat. Celebrating you, we're celebrating, Lord, your holiness, your sinlessness. We're celebrating how you gave your life for us. Lord, we were enemies. Jesus, we had no interest in you. We had fallen so short of your holiness. There was no ways that we could ever get back to the Father. He is pure, He is holy, heaven is holy, it's pure, there's no sin there. Thank you that you came from heaven and you came here to make a way for us to be reconciled. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, because with your Holy Spirit within us, we know that we have a heavenly home that awaits us. We know that there's a new heaven, that there's a new earth. We know, Lord Jesus, that you have prepared a place for us. And as Paul writes there, that we groan in these earthly tents, because we know that there's such an incredible inheritance for us who believe in you, Lord Jesus, and what you prepared. But our desire this morning, our heart is with you, Lord Jesus. Our heart is with you, Father, where we want everybody living in our towns and our nation to also be able to come home and be with you, Father, through what your Son has done, so that receiving that incredible gift of righteousness, they can become the righteousness of yours, Father. We understand without holiness, no one can see God. And that's what's only in you, Jesus, that we can able to come back home. So we are asking Holy Spirit's ministry to work, to prove to the world of what sin is. We ask that you will give such a revelation to you, God, your sinlessness, so that there's such a contrast of realizing what sinlessness is, who you are as holy God, and also the state of humanity, of our own lives, that we will just take hold of you, Jesus, and receive and value the gift of righteousness that we have received from you, Father. Thank you for that. This gift, grace reigns. This gift, we have life, life eternal with you. And so we thank you as we drink together, we eat together. We want to thank you, Lord, that we're participating in your incredible life. We're participating in your death. We're participating in your resurrection. We're participating in your glorification. We're participating in the reality that we have been reconciled and at peace with you, Father. And I'm asking, Father, that at this time, that for us, you will work in us so that you will really, by your Spirit, open up the truth of what it is to be a new creation in your Son Jesus, helping us to grasp the incredible reality of our true identity in your Son Jesus. Help us to be able to grasp the life and live in the reality that we have become your righteousness. Asking this, Father, that we will be able to enter into your very love, Lord Jesus, and this love of the Father, the love of you, the love of the Holy Spirit, that's going to be our motivation. It's going to be that compelling force within us to reach out, to minister, to speak, whatever it may be, in a way that people begin to experience the power of your love. Lord, you've proven through your death, you've proven it into our own lives, that no matter how dark it has been, no matter how we've been captured, your love just broke through that ability to capture our souls, to capture our spirit, to capture our minds. You've proven it to all of us. And I want to thank you, because that's the fact of redemption, where you came and you just took us out of this incredible prison and brought us into your kingdom. So we celebrate Jesus' victory. We celebrate the freedom that we have in you this morning. And we celebrate, Holy Spirit, your grace, so that we will not be enslaved again, but we will remain in you, Lord, and receive your incredible grace, your life, by your Spirit being so infused in us day after day after day after day. And this we celebrate, Jesus, with you this morning. Thank you. Amen. Amen.